Luke chapter 10, we did not finish this up last week, the last just five verses at the end of this chapter. And let's start off with this. We're going to talk about Mary and Martha, or Martha and Mary, whatever order you want to put it in. Verse 38, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. This is one of my favorite stories in the New Testament. Actually, two of my favorite stories center around this family. We got Martha, we got Mary, we got Lazarus, too, if you remember. And two of these stories actually focus around this family, Lazarus being raised from the dead in that incredible story in the Gospel of John. I get chills every time I read that story. You know, whenever Jesus says, remember what he said, Lazarus, come forth, and he came out. It kind of gives me the chills talking about it. But this story is important because it cuts to the chase. What really is important? What's important in our lives? And I think this could be one of the most important lessons or principles in the Bible altogether. I believe it is. You know, last week we talked about building disciples. We were talking about evangelism, building disciples, going out, preaching the gospel, people faithfully involved in ministry of the gospel. But I've seen it the other way around, where ministry becomes the tail that wags the dog. You guys know what I'm talking about? Where ministry itself becomes so important, the real important things are pushed out of the way. This event in Luke is a good picture of the tensions that arise when we have things backwards. And we see the contrast of right serving and wrong serving. Now, to be fair, we're always going to have the Marys around. We're going to have the Marthas around. They're going to be around us all the time. And we need to be careful that we're not so involved in ministry that we miss the point of fellowship with God. That's the goal here today. As a church, we're caretakers of the flock of God. All of us take care of each other. When we need prayer, we pray for each other. When we need help, we help each other. We're the body. Jesus is the head. So we're caretakers of the flock of God. Whoever walks into our doors, it's our responsibility to be very hospitable to them and look toward their needs. They might have needs that we have answers for altogether. Martha's case, she was really good at making people feel comfortable serving in that. You know, I think about our coffeehouse watershed, our living room and our kitchen is within that context. It really is. I like the upstairs. I always call it our living room upstairs. And we want to make sure we take care of the people that come into this church. But that only happens because we make sure that everyone comes to the door is well taken care of in this context of fellowship with God. That's important. It's so important. And that's very genuine because the people that serve, I know all of you guys, a couple here, maybe not so well, but I know everybody here, you guys are true disciples of God, and you take fellowship with God on a very high priority altogether. You know, I have this saying, and you guys are familiar with it, where life gets in the way of eternal life. Where the tail is wagging the dog, you might say, altogether. And it crosses over sometimes into ministry, where it gets in the way of ministry. And we get so caught up in serving, we forget who we're serving. That's the point. Now, Martha was a hard worker. There's some really good things about Martha that I want to talk about. But I can bet, and you guys can pay me in heaven, I can bet that Martha was a big sister. If you look at these guys, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, if you look at it, she's the big sister. She is the big sister. She fits that perfect big sister dynamic. You know, the hard worker, always on the move, ready to keep other people on the move, but sometimes forgetting what is the most important thing. I have a big sister. My daughter is the big sister, and there's very similar traits that I see in all that. And if you've got a big sister, or if you are a big sister, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, Mary, on the other hand, appears to be lazy to Martha, but she's really not lazy at all. We'll see that in the text itself. You know, she's just sitting around. I have all this work to do. Why aren't you helping me altogether? Where is she? You know, asking Jesus, why isn't she helping? And when Mary is not moving, Martha tries to manipulate Jesus to get her going. Don't you care that she's not helping me? Do you guys know people like this? I know people like this. Don't you care? Don't you love it when we need the Marthas, but we need to be like Mary too. We need to be like Mary too. She sat at the feet of Jesus, kind of soaking up the word. And Martha gets a rebuke from Jesus, where Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. You know, I'm always a fan of God's word that produces perspective. And this chapter does produce perspective in the sense of what is the most important thing in your life. Service is good. Fellowship is good. But a relationship with God is our priority. That's what we work for. Today, we're just going to look at, very simple, we're going to look at Martha. We're going to look at Mary. Then we're going to look at that good part, the good part that Jesus spoke about. So let me read it again. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, approaching Jesus, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. So Jesus is entering Bethany, the hometown of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It's about a mile and a half to 2 miles from east of Jerusalem altogether. And it is here Jesus will lodge after the triumphal entry. It's also the town of Simon the leper. And Bethany will be one of the greatest miracles in the Gospels, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Now, there seems to be a connection between Simon the leper. He's called Simon the leper all the way through. Pretty sure that Jesus healed him, though there's no account in the scriptures, but they're all gathering at his house, and that would be probably unheard of if he still had leprosy. But there seems to be some kind of connection between Simon's house and Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It's more implied than direct, maybe close friends, could be relatives, because when Simon the leper hosts a meal, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus attend. At the meal, the scripture tells us that Lazarus eats, Martha served, and Mary anointed the feet of Jesus. So here we see the dynamic there altogether. There is in the context the understanding that the two sisters and the brothers were probably upper middle class. When she breaks that perfume, very expensive perfume, and puts it on the feet of Jesus, we know that it's expensive, so they were probably upper middle class. Now, as we compare the sisters, it's important to understand we don't want to contrast these two as the good and the bad, because they both had good qualities. They both had good qualities. Jesus is going to only point out one little aspect that needs to change in Martha. Both sisters have qualities that are very admirable. Notice in verse 38, Martha welcomes Jesus to the house. Martha always seems to be in the forefront. She's always there in the front end of it. She seems to take the responsibility of hosting important events like it's even her personal responsibility. It could be that she is the elder, like I said, the big sister. There is a dynamic in the family that we all recognize. If you have an older sister, you understand that dynamic. You can see that Martha plants herself in the leading role all of the time. She senses that responsibility more than Mary and Lazarus. We also see that same responsibility in the death of her brother. While both sisters sent for Jesus while Lazarus was sick 4 days before it, it was Martha at the forefront in this picture. So let me read this. It was Martha at the forefront. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. He's entering back into Bethany. This is in John chapter 11. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Martha was sitting in the house. So Martha comes out to meet Jesus. Mary stays in the house there. Verse 21 of chapter 11, now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. It's interesting. Martha is very practical. She's very practical in everything. According to John's gospel, Martha meets Jesus not as soon as they come into the house, but she goes outside of Bethany to meet him before he even gets in there. And we find out in John that both Martha and Mary say the same things to Jesus when they first meet him. Verse 32 of chapter 11 of John. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. Now, obviously, they've been talking all together. They've been talking all together about what's going on. You know, if you were only here, my brother would not have died. It's kind of interesting. They both say that. But the difference, let me read in verse 32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if you've only been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. They both said the same thing, but Mary is kind of an emotional wreck at this point. She falls at the feet of Jesus. Martha seems to be the more stoic type. You don't see this in anything that you see of Martha when you identify her. So you get back to the original story. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. You know, when we look at the criticism of Jesus, we must not think that Martha is the worst of the worst. She's a believer. She believes in Jesus altogether. Martha was a great host. Both sisters loved Jesus, and the scriptures say that Jesus loved the sisters and Lazarus altogether. Martha was a great host and a lover of hospitality. She was a servant of servants, you might say. It's important we understand that Jesus' criticism was not directed at Martha's service. It was not at that. It was that she was distracted from her serving. That was the criticism. I remember years ago when I was serving in Blue Island that we didn't have a lot of people at the time. And I was mopping the floors at the barn. in Blue Island. That was Calvary Chapel, Blue Island right now. No one showed up for the cleanup. I was the only one. I mean, nobody showed up, and we had the concert coming up. And I'll tell you, every swing of the mop, I was in bitterness in my heart. It was pathetic. It really was. I was a pathetic mess. I had to do this and every all alone because nobody showed up. And the Lord stopped me right in my tracks there. I'll never forget this. And he really said, well, why are you bitter? And then he told me, I'd rather have a dirty floor than a dirty heart. It really ministered to me a lot about service, that God was not interested in, it was interested in the heart itself. And, you know, the Lord just stopped me there. I was distracted. Martha was distracted. What was she distracted from? Well, obviously, she's distracted from the very thing that Mary is not, and that's Jesus. She was distracted. She had her eyes on comparisons, comparing her work to others, specifically comparing her situation to her sister's. You know, we as Christians, we play that game in a lot of different ways. We compare our lives to others, and we call it, it's unfair, Lord. Look at that person. That person is doing this or doing that. We look at others and we see something that we're missing and we become envious. We look at other people. I wish I was like that other person. How come life is treating me so unfair? You know, we become distracted because we take our eyes off of Jesus. And Mary was sitting there with her eyes upon Jesus. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Another thing we see, though, also that there's this sense of manipulation in Mary's heart to Jesus. You know, you can't manipulate God, first of all. We know we can't do that. But you ever run into a person that tries to manipulate you into worry? Let's talk about worry for a second. There are times in our life that we are worried. We have anxiety in our hearts. We have times that worry kind of bowls us over. But you ever have those times in your life where, I mean, it's like the whole world's falling apart and you're just cool. You're just cool. There's a song, Bob Bennett. You guys ever heard of Bob Bennett? And it goes like this. In the middle of all this madness, I'm dancing. I love that song because I know what he's talking about in that. And you get in a situation where you have maybe a person that is really a worrisome person, and they kind of pull up right alongside you. Aren't you worried? No, I'm just praying. I'm just seeking the Lord. You need to be worrying. Look at the situation. Praying is not enough. All of this here, it's not enough. What are you doing about this situation? Well, I'm praying. I'm trusting God. But aren't you worried? That's exactly what Martha is doing here. You know, there's a lot of times we cannot do anything about the situation except for praying and giving it to God. And they say, well, aren't you worried about this? Well, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Anxieties and worries are not of God at all. Jesus says, don't worry about anything. That's an imperative. That's almost a command. He says specifically not to worry. It's a command to have the peace of God in your life versus the worrying. You know, we can stop worrying when we know that he's in control. That's when we stop worrying. Look at verse 41 again. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. I love the fact that he repeats her name twice. It's a term of endearment, really. It's where Jesus is trying to be soft to her. It's a reproof, no doubt. But it's a reproof. Jesus, he gives a little sugar with it. He gives a little bit of sugar. And he is trying to steer Martha in another direction. You are worried and troubled about many things. So Martha is going about her business, busy, fixing dinner, fixing the plates, fixing the supper. And Mary is just sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to his word. Now, I talked about comparisons, how it's not good, but it's good to compare these two situations objectively, since the Holy Spirit has put it in front of us. Obviously, Jesus criticized the one, the busyness of Martha, and acknowledges the other sitting at the feet of Jesus. When you look at verse 38, when Martha welcomes Jesus into the house, it's by far the more informal relationship of the two sisters. I remember a story of Gail Irwin when he spoke about a place he was pastoring. He went into the children's church and, "Hey, kids, how you doing?" All of them kind of ran into the corner. He's kind of a big guy, and they're intimidated. He thought about it for a while, so when the next time he entered in there, he just plopped down on the floor, and the kids crawled all over him. Yeah, it's a difference here, how the difference between Martha and Mary. Mary is very informal. Like I said, she's kind of stoic. Not as personal as Mary altogether. He thought about it for a while, though, and he just laid himself down on the ground, and the kids just, you know, king of the hill, right over him. But it's almost like that between Martha and Mary. She's more formal. Mary is a little kid sitting at the feet of Jesus. The intimacy of Mary does not escape me at all. In any of her situations, I look at all the apostles, we catch the different personalities. Think about Peter, Thomas. Those are things we immediately picture. Peter, foot and mouth. Then we see Thomas, the doubter, James. But one of the apostles catches my attention more than others is John. He is by far the most intimate with the Lord. And in a situation in the Last Supper, it said that John put his head on the chest of Jesus, a very intimate picture of all of the disciples that has never matched in the scriptures. But Mary had that intimacy herself. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. A few things I want to point out here. Her purpose was to hear his word. There was something childlike, a childlike submission, like almost like an adult telling a really good story and the kids are all gathered around on the campfire. Mary's full attention is set on Jesus. She's not even aware that, well, maybe she was, that her sister is all frantic at the moment. But Mary's full attention is set on the Lord. There's an interesting dynamic. If you've ever done any public speaking or Bible studies, whenever you're speaking or public speaking or Bible studies, you always look for friendly faces. Not sleepers, but friendly faces. You want to key in the people that are really intent. The people that are drifting, I just don't focus on. You just don't, altogether. There's an interesting dynamic in all of that. I look for someone that's paying attention. And my eyes then connect with that person more than other people. And there's that great joy knowing that you're actually communicating, right? I'll look at everybody here so there's no prejudice there. I can't see the people in the back, though. I need glasses for that. I can see you guys. There's this joy, though, knowing that people are listening. People are connecting. And I think that when you think about God, there's this great joy in, first of all, in Jesus as Mary is just fixed on Jesus, just looking at him, hanging on every word, looking for stories that would sort out her own life. Great joy. And when you think about it, there's that great joy when we are fixed on God. We're paying attention to him. We're looking at his word. We're meditating on the scriptures. We're sitting in the sense of at the feet of Jesus. And here we see Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. So the first thing that you really want to know about Mary is that she's a very relational person. She's very relational, but she's relational with God. Another time when you see Jesus come to resurrect Lazarus, we see Mary, what? Fall at the feet of Jesus. She's weeping and she's all pent up with emotion. And it's so much that it rolls over to people around her. All the other people are weeping. And even Jesus groans in his spirit altogether. And then we see Mary wipe the feet of Jesus with her hair. All three of those stories, those pictures of Mary, are filled with intimate relationships with God. Martha is in a hurry to do things. Mary is content to sit at the feet of Jesus. It's a picture of great anxiety and worry and the peace of God. That's what the story is about. In our life, if it's filled with anxiety and worries, we become part of the Martha syndrome. Concerning, though, the sitting at the feet of Jesus, Spurgeon says this, and I kind of like this little saying, the Savior bids us to make a pause. Sit down. Fellowship with me. Don't be running around with the like a chicken with your head cut off, but sit down and fellowship with me. And that brings us to the last part, the good part. That's what the good part is, by the way. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. But one thing is needed. It's actually better or more literally interpreted as the only thing that is needed. It's not just the one thing, but the only thing that is needed. It is interesting that Jesus, speaking to Martha, said, you're troubled about many things. And then he contrasts it to Mary, only one thing is needed. The many or the one, right? The many or the one. It appears to me that when my life is in a state of anxiety and worry, my mind is filled with many things, and ironically, I can't focus on any of those things. Do you ever notice that about anxiety? You have many things going on, but you can't even focus on the one thing. You're focused on, it's just scatterbrained. It's really a good description of anxiety. You know, we live in a very pressured society today. There's so many things, work and kids and different things that we come across, relationships. But here Jesus is bringing it down. There's only one thing necessary. There's only one thing necessary. We must contrast this. Though Mary was very industrious, she was not lazy, always on the move, never slowing down. And at the end of the matter, she is worried and troubled about many things. Mary, who is always seems to be in a relaxed position, sitting at the feet of Jesus, falling at the feet of Jesus, wiping the feet of Jesus, with that expensive perfume, the end of the matter, she seems to be living a carefree life. I like that. I'd like to be able, you know, the one thing that I like is when I go out, I don't have anything in my pocket, even my phone. That feels good to me. I don't have anything. I don't, you know, you go out and I don't have anything in here. I'm just, maybe I'm going fishing or something like that. I don't have to carry anything. That's how I want to feel with my life. I want to feel that carefreeness. And that comes from the grace of God. Setting us free. You know, when we get to heaven, when we're worshiping, it's only going to be the one thing, the glory of God, the grace of God, all of these things that he wants to give us. The end of the matter for Mary, she seems to be living in a carefree state, and it bothers Martha quite a bit. Now, you can judge which of the two you'd rather be. You want to be Martha, you want to be Mary. We make those choices and we conclude that which of the two are we're better off. But you know, you really had that, you could be Martha, you could be Mary, but you had that very third choice, and that's the one God approves here. Jesus said there's only one thing needed. And the one thing that is needed is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. Now, obviously, we can't do that in person. He's not here. But we can do that in our hearts. And that's the one that God has approved. That's the only thing that's necessary. And sitting at the feet of Jesus, just listening to his word, creates this peace in our life that a lot of times we go in and out of. Don't you agree? It's difficult to focus on that one thing. But in God's eyes, there's no comparison. You cannot compare what Martha is doing to what Mary's doing. We are made to be connected to God intimately. You know, I think a lot of the people that get into ministry, and I've seen over the years, they miss the whole point of ministry. The whole point of ministry is your relationship with God. When we evangelize people, we're bringing them into a relationship with God, one-on-one. It's not that we're not bringing them into the church, you might say. We're bringing them into a relationship with God. And when you get all that flustered stuff up in your brain of all the things that you got to take of, it's time to sit down at the feet of Jesus and listen to his word. And it really, you could say it's fellowship with God versus service to God. You can have service to God without that fellowship. But when you're fellowshipping with God, you'll have the right service. You won't be bitter mopping a floor when nobody shows up. I've learned that lesson. I've learned it. And like I said, in God's eyes, there's no comparison. We're made to be connected to God in a very intimate way. Our spirits are restless until we make that a priority. So all of that anxiety you have in your life is just a symptom of you not sitting still with Jesus. I mean, I speak to myself here. I'm not trying to point fingers. I speak to myself because I have the same problems as you guys have. But we make it a priority to just sit at his feet. Now, obviously, you can be a Christian of great service. I'm sure Martha began to learn that lesson. God wasn't done with her yet. He brought her into a fuller relationship. When she served at Simon the leper's house, you didn't see any complaining. So she learned the lesson altogether. Now, when I look at both of these things, both are really necessary. Service, it is necessary. But only one has the priority. Only one has the priority. In the long run, Mary's going to be a lot better off and much more in tune with service and better equipped than Martha if Martha continued on that same path. And I find it interesting in my own life. I find myself doing a lot of different things to accomplish goals that really should be taken care of on the floor. You know what I mean? Sitting on the floor in front of Jesus, all of those things, you know, I'm running in different directions. All of those goals that we need to accomplish can be simply accomplished by prayer, by fasting, by fellowshipping with God. Or sitting before the Lord, letting him take care of the problems. And kick back. Be a little kid. Be fixed on the words of Jesus. Jesus called what Mary did the good part. I like that, the good part. But it's more accurately interpreted, Mary chose the good portion, the good portion. Only one thing is needed, Mary chose the good portion, and that will not be taken away from her. You know, we've been talking about Mary and Martha. You can see yourself in this story. I see myself. I've been both a Martha, I've been both a Mary. But it has resonated with me that there is that good part. Such a great contrast between the living a life of anxiety and worry and stress and busyness and then just sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. Now, I hope this week, this is important. Meditate on what I'm speaking about today. Meditate on the verses in Luke chapter 10. And then I invite you to be a Mary. All right? invite you to be Mary, to really take the time to sit at the feet of Jesus, to really take the time to fellowship with him. It's not a religious thing. It's a relational thing. And that's the most important thing. It is the good part. And you know what? God is going to give you the peace that passes all understanding because you invested in that relationship with him and not your crazy mind, like my crazy mind is sometimes, right?